It's a blessing to be here this morning. I've been tremendously blessed by the song service, by the opening and children's class. Faith. Trusting that God cares for us, little children. He even counts our hair. Willis wasn't able to do that. He gave up. He gave up pretty quick. And yet we have a God who can count our hairs. How big is our God? Amen. Greetings to you, home folk. Greetings to you, visitors. Welcome here. It's good to have you all here this morning. It's a blessing. Blessing to have Brother Dan in the back. Welcome here. Good to see you, brother. Amen. It's a little colder than where you are from right now, but praise the Lord. It's a beautiful day, beautiful winter morning. This morning, I'd like to talk about a subject that I think we all have to deal with. I trust some of you have overcome more in this area than I have, but I believe that this subject is something that we need to die to daily. My title this morning is just simply selfishness. I thought about titling the message "Me, Myself, and I." It's something that we hear that phrase sometimes, "Me, Myself, and I." But selfishness. Maybe I should ask for a raise of hand of who's in here that is not selfish. But I don't think I will. I think we all have to deal with this subject. And selfishness is just simply seeking my own, for my own good, for my own thing. In 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about charity, and then it says that charity, it seeketh not her own. Love doesn't seek her own, not selfish. And I really believe that at the root of all sin, if you go to Galatians 6 and look at the list of sins, I think they're almost all, at the root of all sin, of almost every one of those, is selfishness. Self-seeking. I'm seeking what I like, But love says, love seeketh not her own. We as Christians should not be seeking our own. See, it would have been so nice if when we got born again, the flesh would have been eradicated and we don't have to deal with the flesh anymore. But that's not the case. But we grow. We can grow in sanctification. I think it, and we'll talk about that at the end, about our need to just die to self. What's some of the answers? Here are some quotes about selfishness. I'm not sure where some of these come from, but here's one. It says, "He that falls in love with himself shall have no rivals." He that falls in love with himself shall have no rivals. That's very true. If I fall in love with myself, I don't have to worry about somebody else. Selflessness is a swamp that sucks in all and gives out nothing. That was a man by the name of John Thornton. Selfishness is a swamp that sucks in all and gives out nothing. It's all for myself. It's everything revolves around me. William Law said, "Self is the root, the tree, and the branches of all the evils of our fallen state." It's not just the, it's at itself, it's the root, the tree, and the branches. It's everything of all the evils of our fallen state. Here's another one. Self is the great antichrist that sets up itself above all else. See, self is anti-God. It really is. Itself is the opposite of Christ-likeness when we're selfish. Selfishness is something that no one admires. It just isn't. No one looks up to selfishness. It doesn't matter whether you live in a community like we live or if you're in a godless society. Selfishness is something that the world over people don't admire. Here's something that someone wrote. Tell me if you've ever had to deal with these kinds of people. And I say, tell me if I've ever been this type of person. Am I this type of person? See, it's selfishness is something that's so easy to see in others. It's very hard to see in my own life. Because I justify it. We all deal with selfishness at times. Tell me if you ever had to deal with these kinds of people. The kind who take and don't give. The kind to whom you give, and they keep asking. The kind to whom you give, and they say you gave nothing. The kind whom have never offered anything, but act like they're providing everything. The kind you give, but take more than you can give. And when they've already taken everything, they get mad at you because you say you have nothing more to give. And our minds go places. But this morning, our mind needs to, how much am I like this? He that falls in love with himself will have no rivals. Turn in your Bible for an opening scripture here to Matthew chapter 23. Here it's talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. They were very selfish people. I think we're going to read the first 12 verses here in Matthew chapter 23. Selfishness. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do." Jesus is not telling his disciples that just because they're selfish, you don't need to do what they're asking. But he says, "But do not after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen of men." All their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their placrates and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, "Rabbi, Rabbi." But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. He's saying in the Church of Jesus Christ, we're all on the same level. We are all brethren. Verse 9, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. And then in verse 11 it says, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoso shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Jesus is giving a contrast between the religious people of the day, how that what they're doing is basically to make themselves look good, but their heart was far from being a servant. A real attitude of Christ-likeness, a real death to self, and I'm serving God and others. He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. If you want to be great, then we need to become low. We need to do the dirty work. We need to be doing the little things that serve other people. If we want to be great, then we need to be a servant. A servant was working behind the scenes. The servants were serving. They were not serving themselves. They were serving other people. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Selfishness. Let me just read this verse in 1 John. Very familiar verse. 1 John 2, verse 15 says, 16 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the flesh. I want it. That's the lust of the flesh. It's, I want this. It's something, I want something that's not really mine. The lust of the flesh, selfishness. I want it. I have to have it. The lust of the flesh. That can go in, whether it's immorality, whether it's in money. It can be in a lot of different ways. That I want it. I want this. At the root of it is selfishness. The lust of the eyes. I like what I see. It looks nice. I like that. The lust of the eyes. Because I want it because it's pleasing to my sight. Therefore I want to have it. Whether that's in our homes, our whatever it might be, you know what it is in your own lives. The lust of the eyes. I like it because it's pleasing to my sight. It's pleasing to my eyes. I like it. Maybe it's vehicles we drive. Maybe it's our houses, maybe it's our fancy ornaments we have in our houses. What is it? And I'm you know, we like to be clean and neat, and that's okay. The lust of the eyes and the pride of life. The pride of life. I want to look good. I want to appear good in other people's eyes. Therefore, How does that work? How does that work itself out? Maybe I talk about me, myself, and I. When we're in a conversation. See, this is... And it's good that we communicate. We need to communicate heart to heart. But sometimes I come away from a conversation, I'm like, so was that just about me? Did I really hear what my brother was saying, or did I just express all the good things that I've done the past week? The pride of life, something that makes me feel good, makes me look intelligent maybe. Those are all forms of selfishness. And I think they're they're effective tools that Satan uses. You know, we start going down that road and we need to get off the boat. We need to do something. You know, sometimes somebody was talking about drifting downstream. If we start drifting out into a big lake or the ocean, do we just let ourselves go? Or do we get off and swim against the tide to get back to shore? We can't just rely. We have to be aware. There has to be a awareness of selfishness. Let's look at a few things of why my way will not work. My way will not work. Because my way will never satisfy. My way, if I take my own way, it will never satisfy. One example of that could be King Solomon. He started out, he asked God for wisdom, God gave him wisdom. But if eventually he started going after his own selfish wants, and he ended up with many wives, many concubines, much gold, much riches. You know what he said in the end? This is what he said in Ecclesiastes 1, verse 2 and 3. It says, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity." My way will never satisfy. When we take our own way, we'll want more and more, more money, more goods, more. Remember, the one person said it's like a swamp that takes everything in, but nothing gets back out. All is vanity. What profit has a man for all his labor which he taketh under the sun? All his labor. Vanity. All is vanity. It's nothing. It's a waste. Solomon was saying this is all a waste when we take our own way. My way will never satisfy. He probably quenched every physical appetite that there was to taste. But in the end, he said, it's all vanity. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Self is a tyrant. Selfishness will never be satisfied. It will completely consume us. My way doesn't pay. In the long run, it doesn't pay. It costs. Remember when David took his own way? Solomon's father, he took his own way. With Bathsheba, and it cost him the death of his son. It cost him he had to kill a man, an innocent husband. Praise the Lord, David later repented. We could go to Psalm 51 and read Psalm 51. You know, when we're close to someone who's really self-centered, sometimes we end up paying for that other person. Bathsheba's husband lost his life. It costs us. My way doesn't work in the long run. Turn to Luke chapter 15. Just another example of a young man who took his own way. Luke 15. The prodigal, talking about the prodigal son here. Luke 15, let's start reading in verse 11. And here Jesus was talking to them, and he said, a certain man, in verse 11, had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he, the father, divided unto them his living. Very selfish. How many of you still have fathers that are living? A lot of you, not all. Now let's suppose, one of you would ask your father for your inheritance. You know, Dad, I want my inheritance now. And because he just couldn't wait for his dad to die. Very selfish. And his dad gave it to him, which is very unusual as well. And he divided unto them his living. It seems like at that point he gave unto both sons the portion of goods or their inheritance. And in verse 13 it says, and not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Selfish, very selfish. He was living for the moment. He was living for self. And then in verse 14, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And we could continue down that to see some of the steps that this young man took to come back to his father. He saw his need. He began to be in want. He had This son took the many thousands of dollars or whatever it was and lifted. He lived for himself. Everything was for himself. He just blew it on riotous living for self. But he spent it all and he began to be in want. And he saw that he could go back, maybe if he could go back to his father, he could just be a hired servant. He had a change of heart. I don't think we'll take time to look at what all happened there, but he went back, and his father opened his arms to his son, who had despised and rejected him. Basically told him, Father, I wish you were dead. That's basically what he had told him. He opened his arms. Is that what we say to God when we want to take when I want to take my own way, I want to do my own thing, I want to take my own way, am I not basically telling God that, God, you don't mean anything in my life. Your ways are not what I want. I want to take my own way. I'm going to take my own way. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm basically saying no to God. My way won't work in the long run. There's another one. My way gets in God's way. Jeremiah 10, verse 23, it says, O Lord, I know that the way of a man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah saw that. I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in my own. If I take my own way, I will not walk in the path that God has chosen me to. My way will get into God's way. It'll be a stumbling block. In a sense, that's what Moses did when he killed the Egyptians. He was wanting to deliver the Egyptians prematurely. And he had to spend 40 years on the backside of the desert where he learned to tend sheep. God humbled him there, I believe. Proverbs 14, verse 12, it says, There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end, therefore, are the ways of death. There's a way that when I take my own way, it looks like this is right. When I take my own way, but it says the end thereof are the ways of death. My way won't allow for growth in the Christian life. My way will stunt that growth in the Christian life, because then I cannot no longer learn from others. I can't learn from God because I'm taking my own way. Selfishness. Well, but when I take my way, that's freedom, isn't it? It's not. It's bondage. My way allows no freedom. If my way is undisciplined, undisciplined life is not a life of freedom. We might think it is, but in the long run, it won't be. All it is a long line of urges and desires and passions. That's my way. Selfishness will never be found around freedom. Perfect peace and rest comes from, what did that song say? When we do what? Fully trust in Him, right? We need to fully trust in God, not my own way. Freedom can only come through self-denial. Freedom can only come through self-denial. You want to become financially free? How do you become financially free? Sometimes you need to deny self. You don't spend that which your passions and desires want. You have to live within your means. Freedom only comes through self-denial. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Not fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That doesn't come through selfishness. It comes from denying self. My way causes discord. My way will cause discord. My way will cause discord at work. Have you ever worked with someone that was taking their own way? That's especially hard when you're the foreman. Or if you're the boss. My way causes discord. When my way will cause discord in the home. My way will cause discord to happen at church. My way will cause discord to happen wherever I go. In a marriage. My way will cause, I believe in selfishness is at the root of divorce. That's why people get divorced, because they're selfish. It's my way. Selfishness. Why do we become angry? Think about it. What causes me to become angry? Isn't it selfishness? I'm not talking about righteous indignation. We always... Why do I become angry? Isn't it because something isn't going the way that I want it to go? And I need to get angry to get this thing back into control. Anger is the cause of selfishness, I believe. Years ago, some of you would know this man. He told me, "I've never raised my voice to my children." That challenged me, because I couldn't say that. That was a challenge to my own heart. He says, "I've never raised my voice to my children." That challenged me, and I believe I've failed since. But you don't have to. Actually, you shouldn't raise your voice when disciplining children. But we do when we're selfish. We could turn to Corinth. I believe they were a selfish church. They were trying to decide if I'm of Paul, and they had this selfish thing that they were. Am I of Apollos? And 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, "Who makest thee," here's Paul is trying to correct this, and he says, "Who makest thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive?" Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou had not received it? What do we have that we didn't receive? So in other words, why are we boasting and acting like this which I have has been mine all along? Who makest thee to differ from another? We're all on the same. Let's not be selfish. Jealousy. Where does jealousy come from? We had talked about lust earlier. Jealousy. That comes from selfish reasons. Very, very simple. If I'm not selfish, I don't get jealous. I think there's a good jealousy of wanting the good that God has for us, and we want that. But I'm talking about bad jealousy. Little children get jealous, don't they? But at least we adults never do. I'm afraid sometimes we do. We want that which others, what is not really ours. Jealousy comes from selfishness. Bible says that we've been bought with a price and we are not our own. So why boast? Why boast if we're not our own? Why boast? What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? I was bought with Christ's blood. We've been bought with Christ's blood. So let's not be selfish. Turn in your Bible to James chapter 3. My way causes discord. James chapter 3 in let's start reading in verse 16. It says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Envying and strife, selfishness. There is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Chapter 4, "From whence comes war and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts which war in your members? You lust and you have not, you kill and you desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, because you consume it upon, that you may consume it upon your lust." And we could continue to read there. "But where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." My way, when I just take my own way, it'll cause envying, it will cause strife. It'll cause confusion and every evil work. Another one is, "My way separates me from God." My way separates me from God. See, when I take my way, when I'm selfish, I'm on the throne. This is really where it comes down to. It's who's on the throne? Is it God or is it me? Who's on the throne? No man, Matthew 6, verse 24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." There's only room for one on the throne. Who's on the throne? Am I on the throne? Who's on the throne? Is it me? If I'm on the throne, is there a way out? There is. How do we overcome when I'm on the throne? Number one, we have to admit that's where we are. That's that I'm on the throne. We have to admit that I'm on the throne. We have to repent. We have to be humble enough to admit that selfishness is sin. acknowledging. Again, James, there in James 3, if we have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Just admit it. If you're miserable this morning, it might be because I am on the throne. Number two, we need to believe that Jesus can forgive, will forgive, and will help us to overcome. We need to believe that Jesus will forgive and help us to overcome. And we can go back to that verse that Junior read in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified with God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified with God. And then it says, by whom we have access into his grace, wherein we stand. We have access. When we have peace with God, when we've been justified, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have access into that grace. God's grace will help us to overcome. We become filled with the Holy Spirit. Another one is repent. We need to repent. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 7. What does repentance look like? When self is on the throne, we need to repent. 2 Corinthians 7, starting to read in verse 8. Here again, Paul, I believe, is addressing the first letter that he had sent, how that he made them sorry. In verse 8, it says, for though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive the same epistle has made you sorry, though it were but for a season. And then verse 9, it says, but I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. He's saying you sorrowed to repentance, not self-pity, but a sorrow of the weight of sin made them sorry. And they sorrowed to repentance. Verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Verse 11, for behold, the same thing, self-same thing, that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. What carefulness it wrought in you. When they really repented, it wrought a carefulness in the area that they repented of. They were careful that they wouldn't go back to the same thing. They were careful. They kept a clear conscience. It says, what carefulness it brought in ye, yea, what clearing of yourself. It brought a peace. It brought a smile back to their face. What clearing of yourself. It brought a peace. It brought a witness. It brought a witness to the community. A clearing. Everybody knew it was cleared. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things ye are approved yourself. You have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. It was just, Paul said, it's just become clear. You've cleared yourself. That's what repentance does. There's not a question anymore. It brought a seal. It brought a fire into their bosom. They were back serving the Lord. There was peace there. There was a clearing. That's what repentance does. Repentance is you're walking my way. I'm walking my way full of selfishness. And God comes and I turn around and I walk after God. And I start serving God and I start serving others. No more on the throne. Number four, dying to self. Turn to Romans chapter 6. There's a dying to self. It's no longer my way. I'm not sure where to start reading here. I think we'll start reading in chapter 6, verse 6. We could start reading at the beginning, but it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that is Jesus. Knowing this, that our old man, the old me, the old self, the old selfishness, the old Adam, the old me that wanted to take my own way, no matter what I knew best. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Jesus, with him. That past, that self is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed. It's no longer I, but it's Christ living within me, that henceforth we should not serve sin. When self is truly crucified with Christ, we don't have to serve sin anymore because he's dead. He's gone. You know, you go to a viewing or a wake and you walk past that casket. And I think we'd all be scared if we reach in and touch that dead body and he would offer his hand in a handshake. Why? Because he's dead. Am I dead? That's the question this morning. Sometimes I'm not as dead as I'd like to be. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Because he's dead, he can't sin. That old man is he died. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him. Not only have we died, but Christ now lives within us. We are filled with his Spirit. Christ lives within us. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death has no more dominion over him. Christ has been risen from the dead, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but that he liveth unto God. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye yourself also to be dead, indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. And he continues on that we shouldn't yield our members of instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Dying to self. Paul said at one point that I die daily. See, this dying is a continued daily dying to self. Moment by moment, I need to die. When a temptation comes and my selfishness wants that, I need to die. When that temptation comes, I need to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I need to die. The fifth point here is serving others. Turn back a few chapters to chapter 15 of Romans. We could turn to a few different places, but I believe when we really want to serve God, we need to serve others as well. When we really want to overcome selfishness, we also need to start serving others. I believe that if some people who are miserable and depressed, if they start reaching out and just doing this, serving others, their perspective of life would completely change. But sometimes we're so wrapped up in ourselves that we can't do anything like that. Romans chapter 15, verse 1 through 3. But we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. When we serve others, it's not about ourselves. Let every one of us, verse 2, please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Serving others. I fail in this area at times. You have family, you have work, you have church. You know, we're so busy, we can hardly serve others. Yes, we can. We can serve others at work. We can serve others at home. We can serve others in the church. And if it doesn't go beyond that, God will give you opportunities. I think if you would start asking, if you're not sure how you can serve others, pray. Ask God in the morning, Lord, show me ways today that I can serve others. And you'd be amazed at the opportunities God will send your way. Little children, how do you serve others? How can you serve your parents or your siblings? You can ask them if you can clear off the table, or you can ask them if you can wash the dishes for your mom. There's many ways that even little children can serve others. Amen. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Am I on the throne? I think it's good when we ask others around us, in what ways am I selfish? Your family could tell you in ways that you're selfish. Amen. I think we will bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we come to you. Lord, you know that there's times when we are also selfish at times, and we have to deal with this flesh. Lord, we pray today, Lord, that you would just forgive us. Lord, help us to really seek you, Lord. And in the coming days, I just pray, Lord, that we would be willing to turn to you. Repent of our selfish ways, Father. Lord, help us to communicate with those around us, Father, and serve them. Help us, Lord, to find ways to serve each other here as a congregation, Lord. Help us, Lord, to not be selfish, but by love serve one another. Help us, Lord, to be a people that we don't seek our own. We want our neighbors to be edified, and so we put legs to that, and hands and feet. Lord, we pray that you would just bless us this morning as a congregation. And Lord, this morning again, I just pray for the little flock and redeeming love. Lord, I pray that you would continue to do a work there and help us as congregations that think about maybe that's a place that I could serve. Maybe I can help them out in some way. Give us open hearts in that way, Father. We just commit us to you this morning. We thank you for your love to us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died on Calvary's cross to give us life, to rise above self. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.